Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to be speaking about the topic of the biblical view of friendship. What does the Bible define friendship to be? And I believe you're going to be surprised tonight as you see that friends and friendship is used in today's modern culture. It's not the way that the Bible defines it. So we're going to be looking at that. It's definitely an episode you don't want to miss. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, Redemption and Power.
To ever lose each other. Hallelujah. Friends, the Son of God is in this room today. Can you feel him here, Jesus? Do you long for his touch right now? My friend, forever, every nation will praise.
.com, where you have access to all of our podcasts. You'll be able to there to listen to all the past podcasts we've done in the last 4 or 5 years. They're there for your convenience. You can also download the free app that is both available for Android as well as iPhone, so you can be able to listen to the episodes on demand. Or you can also subscribe via iTunes for free download, so every time an episode is ready, we'll automatically download to your computer or to your phone. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or you can send us your questions, concerns, prayer requests, or if you just want to drop by and say hello. It's always a pleasure to be able to hear from our listeners. Or you can also find us through Facebook, where you can send us a message or post something up on our site. You can also contact us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-RRAP. Brother Lewis, would you kind of lead us in prayer today?
Amen. Father God, today, as we delve into the teaching of a friendship, Father, let us learn from your example, Father. And let us, Father, be able to teach according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
When you say the word friend, what comes to your mind? Perhaps the people you knew growing up, a classmate in school, or maybe someone you work with. I think many people just call people in general who they associate with a friend. However, a friend in the Bible is more than that. They have special qualities. But before we look at them, let's see who are not. Have you ever heard the old saying that says, "Tell me who you hang around with, and I'll tell you who you are"? Even though this is a secular saying, it has a lot of truth to it. What true friend will want to hurt or cause pain on the person they care about, or lead his friend to a road of destruction and not to salvation? This is something, brothers and sisters, that I struggle with. How can we say we are brothers and sisters when we are haters on each other, refusing to speak to one another, and abandoning each other? And worst of all, leading people they call friends away from Christ. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 12:26, "One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the ways of the wicked leads them astray." Proverbs 22:24-25. "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Who are the good friends the ones that are there for you when you are in need, who stand by your side when things get tough, and the ones who will never leave you. Here are some examples of them in the Bible. Ruth 1:16 through 17. But Ruth replied, "Don't argue me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." David and Jonathan, 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 3. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit together with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Job 2:11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, they came each from his own place. They made an appointment together to come to show him sympathy and comfort him. Elijah and Elijah. 2 Kings 2:2. And Elijah said to Elijah, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Friends, being a friend is more than knowing a person, as we can see in the Word of God. True friendship is about giving and loving each other, as Jesus demonstrated. He loves us so much that he came to rescue us from death, giving his life for us because he cares. Took our place of punishment to free us from the pain, and promised to never leave us or forsake us, so we won't be alone. True friendship will always cost you something if you truly love those you call a friend.
Amen. Glory to God. Those were definitely some beautiful words, Brother Lewis, with regards to how deep the definition of friendship is in the scriptures. You see, brothers and sisters, one of the tactics that Satan uses frequently is an attempt to corrupt anything and everything that is good, specifically by bringing things outside of the boundaries that God has established. And in modern times, with the rise of technology and social media, friendship is one of those things that has become relegated to tweets and texts and Facebook posts. We have lost the true meaning and value of friendship, and how important it is for us as individuals to develop deep relationships with our brothers and sisters. I remember back when MySpace had come on the scene, which, for those who don't know, was the first mainstream social media site. And I remember having a profile on MySpace and having hundreds of friends on that page. Well, maybe not hundreds, but way more than I could ever cultivate in my life. And that's exactly what they were. They were imaginary friends of strangers that existed for me only in a virtual world. There weren't people that I had relationships with. It was just another number on my profile. It was just another person maybe that I spoke to when I was in high school. But they weren't really not my friends. There was no roots in that relationship. And I like the way that Brother Lewis described what the biblical definition of friendship, and I just wanted to expound on that, because I really can't add to it, but I can expand on some of the things that he spoke about. You see, the Greek word translated friendship in the Bible is the word philia, and it is the word that comes from phileo, which means brotherly love. The root of the word friendship in the Greek is the root word that means brotherly love. Therefore, we can deduct that the biblical meaning of friendship is really to love one as a brother, as a sister. And by that definition, it pretty much all of social media is out. Because it speaks about a deeper relationship, as Brother Lewis was describing. Look at what the scripture says. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It may seem like they're being, in a way, contrasted, but I believe it is speaking at how a brother is there for adversity. It's also kind of equating that a friend is also there for adversity. And the reason why I say that is because when you look at Proverbs 18, verse 24, look at what he says. He says, and I'll go ahead and read it from the NASB, because I believe it captures more of the Hebrew. It says, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You see, the thing about true friendship is that it's not about how many friends you have. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. And the Bible calls us to build relationships and to help each other out. Look at what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Starting in verse 9, he says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. See, the purpose of friendship is not only for social reasons, but for practical reasons, to help each other out in times of need. Here, the writer of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, spends here three verses four verses speaking on the importance of having a companion, a friend, a brother that can help you in times of need, that we are here to pick each other up and to fight for one another. We read when Moses goes up in the hill to lift up his hands, and when he lifts up his hands, the battle that is going on before them, Israel begins to win when he raises his hands. But the Bible says that he came to a point when where his hands became tired, and that two men had to come and help him keep those hands lifted up high so that the battle can be won. I think that's a wonderful picture of what a true friendship is. People that can hold your hands up in those times where you become weary. Because isn't that how we know who our true friends are? Because they're there for us in the toughest moments. See, friendship is about two people that serve one another. And the way that Satan corrupts friendship is by turning it from service to manipulation. See, there's people that are not interested in making friends. They just want people that they can use. People that can do something for them. See, people that manipulate you to get you to do what they want are not true friends. And you'd be better off by getting rid of them from your life. Get away from them. Get away from people that are manipulating you. It's also important, as Brother Lewis had mentioned, because those that we allow into our inner circle have a strong influence over our lives. And the reason, and because of this, we have to make sure that the people that we allow to come into this inner circle are people that will influence us for good. And look what the scripture says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together unless they agree with each other? Can you walk with people that are against Christianity? Up to what point? Especially if God is the center of your life. No, I'm not saying that you can't have friendships outside of Christianity, but what happens in those moments of distress, those moments when you need a word, those moments when you need someone to encourage you in God? Will those acquaintances or those friends that don't have the Lord in their lives, will they be able to give you the right advice? Will they be able to pray with you? You see, often one of the problems that keeps new converts from walking in a deeper relationship with God is the old friends, the old drinking buddies, the ones that would influence them to do bad things, to do drugs, to follow whatever pleasure. And there's a saying that goes like this: misery loves company. There are those people that will do everything they can to keep you down. And that's why one of the most important things that new converts need to do, new Christians that just gave their lives to Jesus, is to get away from those old friends that were keeping them in sin. But the reality is that many of those people are not true friends. Because when they see your commitment to Christ, many of them will separate from you. Because they can't handle hanging out with the quote-unquote religious guy or religious girl. These are not your friends. If you have people in your life keeping you from drawing near to Christ, These are not your friends. I like the fact that Brother Lewis mentioned what I believe is probably the most, the best definition of friendship in the Old Testament, and that's the relationship between David and Jonathan. When we read the story of their relationship, we were able to see how Jonathan puts himself in a position where everything he had was at stake. His position as a prince, his reputation and his relationship with Saul, his father, and even his own life for the sake of his friend David. And I believe Brother Lewis read this verse, but I want to go ahead and read it one more time. It's 1 Samuel 20:17. Where Jonathan says, where the scripture says, and Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Jonathan loved David as himself, as he did his own life. This is the definition of a friend. Jonathan being a prince, the heir to his father's throne, even though he knew that David had been anointed by Samuel, he did not envy him. He did not wish him harm. He did not wish that something bad would happen to David for taking away the throne. Because the truth is that Jonathan knew that if David became king, he could not be heir to the throne. He would not be able, his family will cease from being the royal family in Israel. And yet when we look and we read in the story, we never once get a hint of Jonathan having any animosity towards David. Because Jonathan loved David and he knew the calling that God had over David's life. And because the Bible tells us that real love does not envy, real love doesn't hold a grudge. A friend should be happy at the prosperity of another friend. But often we see the opposite. People get angry, they become jealous, they become envious. And look at what Jonathan says in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16 and 17. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. So Jonathan comes to David, and he says, I know you're going to be king, and even though my father is trying to kill you, he will not succeed. We see that Jonathan loved his friend David so much that he was willing to go over his father, to go against his father, because his father wanted David to be dead. And he put his life on the line because of his love for his friend. So the quintessential act of friendship can be defined by sacrifice. Jonathan was willing to sacrifice all that he had for his friendship with David, which speaks volumes of what true friendship is. true friendship is sacrifice. And by that definition, there is no greater friend than our Lord Jesus. Look what he says in John chapter 15, verse 13. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. This is the message that Jesus is giving to us, and this is the message that Jesus lived for us. Because Jesus is our faithful friend. He laid down his life for us when sin had alienated us from God. The Bible says that because of sin, we had become separated from God. We were enemies of God. And Jesus laid down everything he had. He came from his throne to become a baby. Can you imagine that? The God that created the heavens and the earth, that created all the universe and everything in its existence, became a helpless baby. He left his throne, his royal throne, to come and live down among us and to finally die as a guilty man. Not because of anything he committed, but because of our sin. And he laid down his life on that cross willingly. He paid the highest price for us. And the Bible says that on that cross, he was smitten for our transgressions. Our sin, the penalty of our sin, was upon him. And the Bible says that he died, he was buried, and he rose on the third day. And because he was willing to pay the price, he is our greatest friend. And if he paid the highest price in his darkest moment, when everybody had abandoned him, how will he leave us now? How will he not abandon us now? As he sits on the throne of heaven, how will he not be here for us? Did he not say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Did he not say that he will be with us till the very end? Jesus is our true friend. That's why our brothers and sisters that live in the Middle East, that come to know Jesus, know that everything is on the line. You see, here in the United States, we take this for granted. But many people all over the world, that they, by believing in Jesus, have their lives now being threatened, are now at risk of death. Many Christians all over the world are in prison right now because of their relationship with Jesus. And yet Jesus has not abandoned them. Yet all those around them, though they may be abandoned by their family, though they may be abandoned by those they called friends, yet Jesus never abandons them. He is our true friend. And I encourage every single one of us tonight to cultivate that friendship with Christ, that fellowship with the Father, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because that is what will keep us. God has the ability to comfort us in a way that nobody else can. But it is also a relationship that must be cultivated daily in His presence, getting to know Him, pouring out our hearts unto Him. Because now that He's called us children, He wants us to grow together in intimacy.
Amen. Just like my brother Javer just mentioned, Jesus showed us one thing. His friendship and His love toward us wasn't based on race, wasn't based on social status, or anything that we can do for Him. It was His love toward us. It's how He loved us. And today, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to be your friend. Jesus wants to, for you to give your life to Him. And tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I would like to lead you so that you can know Him. And you could do this by just asking Him into your heart. This is what allows us to come to a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that the first thing we need to do is recognize that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. And we need to repent and secondly, the Bible says that we need to ask Jesus to come into our heart. So I would like to lead you into a prayer. Father God, tonight, I recognize that I am a sinner. And I repent for my sins. I acknowledge that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. And tonight, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to become my friend. In Jesus' name. Brother and sisters, if you did this prayer, there's one thing that you could be sure of. Many people in this world that you have called friends have let you down, have hurt you. But Jesus will never do that. He promises to be with you to the end.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now the question is, what does it mean for us to be friends of Jesus? I had read John 15, verse 13, where he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends." But look at what the next verse says in verse 14. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have made known unto you." See, part of friendship involves communication. Jesus says that we're his friends because he gives us revelation. He's not just some, like the way that we see in other religions, some deity that is just, you know, that's just that you're just there to serve them. He has a relationship with us. He seeks us out as a shepherd. Whenever we begin to stray, he comes to us and he brings us back. But he says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And this is very important because one of the things that the Bible tells us about Jesus is that he is the truth. And as a friendship cannot exist without truth. And as friends of Jesus, we are commanded to live and walk in truth. And what is truth? His word is truth. You see, if you call yourself a Christian, but you have no desire to know what God wants you to do, you have no desire to do what God has told you to do, then that's a problem. Because part of that relationship involves obedience. Obedience and communication. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Are we friends of God? See, one of the people that the Bible calls the friend of God was Abraham. And the Bible calls him the friend of God because by faith, he obeyed him. And we don't realize, brothers and sisters, that whenever we take those steps of faith, God reveals more to us. You see, the Bible says that to whom more is given, more shall be given to. But to those who have little, shall be taken away. And I believe what he's speaking about there is speaking about truth. When you're given truth and you apply it to your life, guess what? God will give you more truth. He'll reveal more about himself to you. But if he reveals something to you and you don't do anything with it and you don't take that step, he's not going to reveal to you the next step. And you won't grow in intimacy. You won't grow in relationship with God. And that's the reason why we have so many immature Christians is because they don't want to take that next step of obedience. God's telling you, hey, get rid of those friends. Get rid of those people that are keeping you down. Get rid of those people that are steering you in the wrong direction. And you just don't want to do it. How are you going to grow? How are you going to grow when what God is revealing to you is plain and simple, it's in your face, and yet you choose to ignore it? We are commanded to be obedient to Christ. You know, one other thing that's so important is that in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that it is not good for man to be alone. And after that, we see he goes into the relationship of marriage. But I believe that doesn't only apply to marriage. I believe that if you're a single person, you're not married yet, it's still not good for you to be alone in the social sense. We're meant to be with other brothers and sisters and to cultivate relationships with them. The Bible says in the book of Acts, one of the results of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church is that they became of one mind and they were willing to sacrifice for one for the other. See, one of the problems that we have is that is a barrier to true friendship is our selfishness. And the only way for us to deal with that selfishness is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit we will be able to love unconditionally. We will be able to serve others. Will we be able to sacrifice for others? And especially for God. For he alone is worthy. And he says, to us that the way that he's loved us, that we should also love others. That we should love our brother. If we say that we love God, we should love our brother. Therefore, a relationship, a true friendship, spawns from a true relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, Brother Javert, one of the things that is very profound that you just spoke about, and you spoke about the marriage. And I think one of the biggest friendships that we have in our lives is our marriage, our wife or our husband. And it's so important, you know, to be loyal and to be able to count on and depend on that other person. That's why I like the way those vows go when you get married. It's not based on conditions. If you get sick or if you get old, you know, I'm gonna dump you. You know, friendship is more than that. It's not based on condition. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with your social status. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do from within. It has to do with your heart. And that's why when Brother Javert spoke about Jonathan and David, it talks about a soul that bound together. The two became one. You know, and when two people become one, they start caring about each other. They start caring about their feelings. They start worrying about, you know, how can they help the other person. And this is very important, brothers and sisters, when you're dealing with, you know, your regular friends, but it's more important when you're dealing with your wife or your husband. And, you know, because they are our best friends. So I think our relationship with Christ is the same way. He talks about it in the Bible as being as of a marriage. You know, he becomes one with us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives in us. So he shares himself with us. He lives inside of us. And we become part of him. And when we become part of Christ, it's how we start to be like him. That's why when a lot of people that come to Christ, at times you see him, you say, well, this is not the guy or the lady that I used to know many years ago. Because there's a transformation, brothers and sisters. And this is what love is all about. And this is what Christ is all about. And this is what friendship is all about. We're not like the rest of the world. We're different. Father God, tonight, we want to thank you. Thank you for giving us this lesson, Lord. This lesson of how to be a friend. Father God, I ask you tonight to teach each and every one of us how to be like you. How to be a friend that we could trust. How to be a friend that we could love. Unconditionally, Father. How to be a friend that we could forgive and we could stand and help one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. We thank you for tuning in tonight. We hope that this program has been a blessing for you in helping you understand, in case you didn't know, what real true friendship is according to the Bible. And just to sum it up, true friendship is based on sacrifice for one another. Thank you again for tuning in. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, or you can contact us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or at 305-320-7727. That's Again, is 305-320-7727. May the Lord bless you.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Our refuge, take it to the Lord.